Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing missing stimulus checks, DIY home projects, and flights to nowhere.
Welcome to our Friday Flight episode, man. Every week, you and I, Joe, we pick a few headlines that catch our attention, and we talk about how those bits of news, how they affect our money, our personal finances. So I'm excited to get to the few of the stories that you mentioned, as well as several others, buddy.
Yeah, you know, one thing I saw, actually, that had to do with something we talked about a couple months ago. We talked about the REI campus that they built. It's like this super fancy thing out on the West Coast.
This is less money. This is more just like something we found interesting.
Yeah, but REI was like, oh man, because of the pandemic, we're not going to move in to this building.
They called it like a summer camp building for like adults because of how well it was designed, you know, and how well it integrated to the outdoors. Makes sense for a company like REI.
Yeah, the renderings looked awesome.
Super cool.
Like, I wanted to go to work there, man. I was looking to see if they had any job postings, you know. But yeah, they ended up selling the campus to Facebook because apparently Facebook has a couple of buildings like around the area. And yeah, it sounds like REI actually turned a profit on this one. So way to go, REI.
Nice. Are you a member of REI?
I am. Yeah, I have been for a number of years.
Nice. So we've never done that, but in order to get the discount when I got my bike earlier this year, back in the spring, you know, when I was looking to spend some of my stimulus money, You got a discount if you were a member as well. So I went ahead and joined. And so while that's great, I'm actually looking forward to the 10% back because at the end of the year, they do like a profit sharing thing where their members get 10% of what you spent. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it's a co-op. And so, yeah, REI, I love their model. Their model is all about serving their customer well. And yeah, that co-op model just is a business model that's not often used, but it serves the customers well. And I think it creates a lot of customer loyalty too.
Yeah, totally, man. I'll be interested to see if we maybe overspend now at REI because once you do have a membership somewhere, you tend to think about it more. And so hopefully that doesn't change my behavior, you know, and how we actually do spend our money.
That's kind of what Costco banks on, right? People pay the $60 or the $120 and then you're a member now. So you want to get your money's worth. And Costco does pretty well with that sort of membership model too.
Exactly, man. All right, so let's get to our Friday flight. This is our quick sampling of stories that you know that you and I found interesting this week. And man, one of the reasons we call it the Friday flight is it's a little nod to our love of craft beer. So we had a quick story here on beer news, man. We saw that Yuengling is expanding their distribution out west. U.S. beer sales, they fell last year, according to the Brewers Association. So it seems that this is an interesting move for America's oldest brewery to reclaim some of that decline in their fans and their customers. But man, Yuengling's so interesting because I feel like a lot of people talk about Yuengling. I mean, they are the oldest brewery in our country, right? But like we've even got family out west. And if they go out of state, because I guess they don't sell it where they live, but if they go out state and they can get their hands on some Yuengling, they buy tons of it and they bring it back home because they love it.
Which is funny because it's not really a craft beer. It's not really...
It's like a standard beer. Like, yeah. I mean, if someone were to say, like, describe Yuengling, I would say, like, beer.
Yeah.
It's just normal beer.
And I think it's better than, like, the other macros, but there's nothing really special about it. But yeah, America's oldest brewery. That's their claim to fame. and Matt, actually, one of our local breweries, Creature Comforts, they're out in Athens, Georgia. They just announced that they are opening up another location in Los Angeles.
Speaking of, yeah, expanding out west.
Which is just another just massive craft beer town. Lots of great breweries out there. But yeah, so for all of our LA listeners who want to try some good Georgia beer, well, pretty soon you're going to be able to try some Tropicalia or some Athena. So yeah, those are some bar
favorites. Athena Paradiso.
Oh God, the one with cherries and cranberries in it. So good. So yeah, LA listeners, start stocking Creature Comforts on Instagram and follow how you know their build's going. That's something to look forward to for sure.
Yeah. Yuengling, pretty good, but not too special. Creature Comforts, very special.
Yeah. Matt, something else I found really interesting this week. There were a few stories about different airlines starting to sell tickets for flights to nowhere. And that just feels like so 2020, so weird that it's happening.
Does it feel like 2020 or does it feel like 2000? You know, like back when gas cost nothing and you would just kind of go cruising, go driving around in your car for a ride.
Yeah, maybe a little bit like both, but it just, you know, everything in 2020 is so freaking weird that the idea of getting on a flight and not actually going to another place because, you know, a lot of these airlines are doing it because you can't go anywhere. Like Qantas in Australia, actually, they sold out a flight in 10 minutes that takes off from the Sydney airport and then lands back at the Sydney airport 7 hours
so
later.
So ridiculous.
And they're saying that, you know, you'll get some low-flying views of the Great Barrier Reef, which is cool. But overall, it's still pretty odd that you would buy a flight and you'd hop on and you're not really going anywhere, man. You're just kind of like going for a little tour of, you know, part of your own country.
Yeah, except that like planes aren't made for sightseeing.
Right, yeah.
I saw that.
The windows are kind of small.
Yes,
like, yeah.
I saw it's going to be on a Boeing 787. And I don't know when the last time you've been on a 787, but those are really wide planes where a lot of the people sit in the middle. Mm-hmm. There's only one seat that has an actual window seat, like on normal planes, right? On each side.
Doesn't matter how low you get if you're sitting in the middle of the plane.
It's a folks are just going to get on this plane, cruise around, and it's going to be such a disappointing flight. It would be a disappointing flight in my opinion, because it's all about going somewhere and to then land back at the same airport that you took off from, man, I would be so bummed.
Me too. I'm not doing it.
All right, so that's a little bit of news or the weird, but there's something else that's a little strange too, man. Over 9 million Americans who may qualify for a stimulus check, remember those back in the spring?
Yeah.
They still haven't registered to receive their money. And the thing is, most individuals, they didn't need to register because we filed our taxes in 2018 or 2019. But for those who aren't required to file a tax return, they had to actually go online and register in order to receive that money. And so the IRS, they're going to be sending out notifications next week to those individuals as they now only have until October 15th to register in order to claim that money. And so if that's you, if you've been maybe living under a rock, you can go and do that on the IRS website. That's where you can go, where non-filers can register. And we'll make sure to link to that page in our show notes.
Yeah, and at different times on the show, Matt, we've talked about kind of an increase in scams during COVID. There are just a lot of people trying to take advantage of people's concerns about health and finances right now. Well, there's also been a rise in scams related to those economic impact payments. So the IRS has issued a statement clarifying that they will not reach out to you via email, phone calls, or texts. So if you get anything electronic in nature in IRS communication, it's not the actual IRS, it's a scam artist. So the only place to go is irs.gov in order to register for that stimulus check payment. And man, I just can't believe 9 million people that
a lot of people that are missing out on their money.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're probably still wondering where it is. Yeah, so maybe this hits you and you were supposed to get one, you haven't gotten one, and now you can go and register to get that money. Or maybe you know somebody who doesn't file a tax return and you think they probably qualify. Well, it's best to let them know about this so that they can receive that money too.
Yeah, well, speaking of stimulus checks, let's talk about how Americans who actually got their money, how they used that money. According to a new study, less than half of the money was actually spent, and then one third of that money was used for a rainy day fund. That is certainly in line with other news that we've seen about the increased cash on hand due to the first round of stimulus checks. And then in addition to that, too, another chunk of money was used to pay off debt. And so it's awesome to see that, you know, Americans are using this influx of cash wisely in most cases, you know, even if it didn't necessarily accomplish the goal of maybe stimulating the economy through more consumer spending. But that also did happen, too, you know, and so I don't know. I feel like there's a certain level where folks are putting themselves in a better financial position, and that gives them the confidence maybe to go out and buy a new bike like I did.
Yeah, I think Americans as a whole needed to up their savings rate, right? There seems to be a special emphasis on hoarding cash at the moment, and we think that's great. We think people should be considering their own personal financial situation. That's crucial because we don't know exactly how long or how difficult this storm, the COVID storm, is going to be. And most folks plan to stick to that trajectory of saving, actually, based on a recent survey, until there's a COVID vaccine. And I can't blame them, man. I mean, if having that solid 6 months of living expenses in your emergency fund, that's always been an important thing to have going on when it comes to your personal finances. But it's even more important to shore up those savings now, right? Even though rates on savings are pretty abysmal, it's important to keep those savings intact. And I know that's something that a lot of our listeners struggle with, Matt. Sometimes they're like, man, my savings account's paying 0.45 now, and it's a bummer. And I just think I can do better. And I understand that desire. But at the same time, it's so crucial to have those liquid funds in a bank account that you could draw on at any time, because you never know what a worst case scenario could look like. That's why it's so important.
Yeah, man, you can't beat that peace of mind. And speaking of cash, we've talked about this before, but the coin shortage, that has continued. There are fewer coins in circulation as a lot of folks don't typically use them, but also too, as businesses sometimes have stopped accepting cash. But we saw that Coinstar, you know, the machines like at the grocery store, you can dump the change in there. They will pay you more for your coins right now. There's never a fee to trade your coins in for an Amazon gift card, but now you can get a $35 gift card for $30 and change, which is really sweet. And so if you know that you have a recurring expense or something that you maybe always purchase via Amazon, this is a great way to optimize and to maybe unload some coins that you have laying around the house. We've seen here too in Atlanta that some Chick-fil-A locations are offering or were offering a free sandwich. If you traded in $10 and change for a $10 bill, you get a free sandwich, which is pretty sweet. And so, you know, keep an eye out for that. Some of your favorite local businesses might be offering coin payment specials as well. Keep an eye out for those deals.
Yeah, I'm not one of those people that has a giant coin jar, but I know a lot of people do, man. They just like take the extra pennies and nickels out of their pocket every day, stick them in that jar, and they're saving for something big. And right now might be a good time to trade those in because coins are super valuable to a lot of businesses who are struggling to find the coins they need in order to make change.
That's right. All right, man. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but after the break, we're going to talk about saving money by DIY work that you can do around your home. And we're going to talk with our friend Tim Harmon with the You Can Man podcast. And we'll get to that right after the break.
All right, we're back from the break, and let's jump into some do-it-yourself talk.
DIY.
And due to the pandemic, we're all in our homes more, right? And we're deciding to spruce them up, make some changes, make it feel a little more livable. And Home Depot's and Lowe's, they've actually reported really strong earnings because of the DIY craze that's happening. So in that vein, we've brought our friend Tim Harmon from the You Can Man podcast on to discuss all things DIY on this episode with us. So Tim, thanks for joining us on the show today, man.
Hey, good to be here.
Yeah, Joel, you've known Tim for quite a while, longer than I have. Actually, Tim, I met you maybe like a decade ago when it came to like within the photography industry, which is something that neither you or I are doing necessarily full time at this point.
Right. Sitting here with you guys at this table is just a culmination of a very long time. When I found out that Joel knew Matt knew Joel, and I'm like, whoa.
Has happened?
Worlds collide here.
And I'm like, Joel, how in the world did you meet Matt? And so I got the whole story.
That's a weirdo.
So known these jokers for quite some time now, and so glad to be sitting here at the table talking about some do-it-yourself stuff.
That's great. Well, that is what we're going to talk about. We're not going to dive into our histories, into our past. Tim, we're all about DIYing it around the house to save money. But for you know others out there, can you make a quick case, like a quick argument for why folks should be doing more projects themselves instead of hiring someone else, you know, for that job?
So we are all about doing things yourself, but it's not always about saving money. What we say is what one man can do, you can do as well, with a little help from your friends and the proper know-how.
Nice.
So
I will say too, not what you can, man. Like also there's ladies out there who are very handy or even aren't handy that are can pick up a tool and figure out how to do something.
Yeah, right. We actually have a really active Facebook group that's steadily growing, and we've got tons of ladies too. So yeah, so doing things yourself, it's not always about the money, like I mentioned. We like to think that tackling DIY projects gives you confidence in every area of life. So tackling something that I may never have dreamed that I could do myself, like one thing that really got me started down this road years ago was taking out a large load-bearing wall in my house. And before that, I thought, I can never do this.
Only for the experts.
My house is going to fall down for sure. If I try to do this, it's going to fall down.
Right.
But I had a really good friend and he had done it before. And so he showed me the ropes and was like, look, man. And he's actually the reason why I call it You Can Man, because he would always say what one man can do, you can do as well. And that's
where you have to pay him like 10 cents every time
you say
that phrase.
Right. And so that's what really got me started. And that gave me a lot of confidence to then start tons of other DIY projects. So I love teaching people that, hey, you can do this. You know, you need the right know-how. You need some help, but you can do this yourself.
I think that's so true. And that's something that Matt and I kind of talk about with money. There's something about the behavior that you do over a period of time turns you into the person that you're becoming.
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
It's like the more you do it, the better you get at it, and it just fulfills itself.
You start to save. Now I'm a saver.
Yep.
and then you can label yourself that, and then you kind of continue to do that in a ramped up way. And I think the same thing, I think you're right, is true with DIY. The more you tackle, the more you're like, oh yeah, that's, I can get into more areas of that. So Tim, what are some of the most expensive things maybe that people typically pay for when it comes to DIY or home renovation, and they should actually be doing themselves instead to save money?
Okay, I'm going to say one thing that really just adds up, and you guys have talked about it. In fact, I think you had an entire show about this,
oh,
if I'm not mistaken, maybe earlier on, I'm not quite sure. Do-it-yourself pest control.
Yes.
Okay, now look, you're going to be spending so much money every single quarter paying the pest control guy. And if you're like me, years ago, same kind of thing that I was talking about with the load-bearing wall removal. I thought, I can't do this myself. Don't you need a license to get all these chemicals?
I'm not qualified to handle that kind of material.
Yeah. No, there's this website. It's called Amazon. And you can actually get all of these chemicals yourself.
The ones that the pest control pros actually
the
use.
The exact ones, yeah. And actually, I had a friend of mine that had hired somebody to come do mosquito control. And I said, hey, I want you to ask the guy the exact chemical that he's using. Sure enough, bifenthrin. You can buy that on Amazon. And it's such an easy thing. And it's just something that adds up really, really quickly. I would say do-it-yourself pest control. Another thing, now I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but I love changing my own oil in my car. Now, as a test, I never have anybody do my own oil. So today, before I came on the show, a little show prep, I called up Jiffy Lube and I was like, all right, 2012 Toyota Sienna, it's a V6. I know I need 6.4 quarts of oil. How much is that going to cost me full synthetic? Dude's like, well, it's going to be $89.99. And then it's $10 for every quart over that. So, you know, and then you got the 0.4. So it's going to be $14 more. Okay. So basically, I'm out the door there at like $105 now.
For an oil change.
For an oil change with a filter. But now, Kirkland, Costco brand Kirkland.
Now you're talking my language.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Does Aldi make oil? Because I would buy it if they do.
They probably will. But so a year or so ago, Amazon came out with their own oil. So I was like, sweet. So I started using that. But then, man, Costco came in and just blew Amazon out of the water. And
so now, what does it cost you now?
So now I can get that done myself for about $23.
Dang.
Nice.
That's a big
$23.
Savings.
So, and a lot of people are like, hey, not worth it. It's messy, you know. But to me, I would rather do that myself. It gives me a chance to get up underneath the car, see if there's any other things going on. So it's not always about the money. It's about, you know, checking in on things that are happening on my car. But yeah, I mean, you think about it. If you're the type of person that really values especially a full synthetic oil change, do it yourself.
Nice,
save
man.
A lot of money.
That's why I drive electric.
No oil.
Just avoid it altogether.
At all. Well, so you're talking about cars. Let's swing it back towards houses. You know, when it comes to small home projects like a bathroom, you know, renovation or remodel, if we hire others to do the job, we're not necessarily going to see the return on our investment, you know, at least from a money standpoint, right? And so what like DIY jobs will have the best ROI for us when it's time for us to sell the house? You know, there's certain things that we can do and that we justify sometimes, and we say that, oh, this is going to be great for resale, when in reality, that's not going to be the case. So what projects would you recommend that do have a financial monetary reward down the road?
Yeah, so no big surprise here. It's going to be kitchens and bathrooms. Mm-hmm. I mean, and your listeners probably know that. They've probably heard you say that before. But when you're breaking those kind of projects down and thinking about saving money, the one thing that came to mind is, look, you're probably going to want to have like an expert to lay the new tile in the bathroom. However, you probably don't need an expert to take a sledgehammer to the old tile.
That's a good point.
So, you know, maybe get some quotes, and part of that quote is going to be demo. And then when you're in the negotiation phase with that contractor, say, okay, how about if we X off demo from here? How much would you take off for that? And then do that yourself, you know, get you a Bagster and do it yourself, you know.
Bagster, and that's like you can buy that at Lowe's and
right,
fill
right.
it up with trash. It's like a small dumpster, basically.
Yeah,
like a canvas.
And you could fit most, you know, average size bathrooms, I would think. in a Bagster. So that would be a really, really easy thing to do, would be demoing yourself. Now, there are considerations. You got to turn off the water and all kinds of stuff like that. So, yeah, you need to do your research.
But then you don't have
which
to go.
Which may have learned the hard way recently. Maybe we'll share this on the show. But
a plumbing disaster.
Took a sink out. It was kind of leaking out onto the floor. He had to cut it off at the main.
Hey, I got it done.
You figured it out, though. You got that water key. That's right.
We did a little series on our podcast called New House Know-How. And one of our big things was always, always, always know where your main water shutoff
is. Where your cutoffs are, where the circuit breaker is, right?
Yeah. And I was helping a friend, and he was about to demo some stuff in his kitchen. And sure enough, he broke a pipe while he was doing it. I'm like, and it was a new house. Mm. Where's your water shutoff?
Yeah.
And I'm running around frantic, and he's trying to, you know, stop the bleeding, if you will. And then I'm downstairs.
Which is pretty much impossible.
I'm downstairs, and I just hear him yell, "It's hot. It's hot water."
Oh, no.
So then I knew, I knew where his hot water or where his water heater was. So there's a valve at the water heater. So I went and turned it off there. Always know where that is.
I will say the nice thing about doing reno yourself, too, is you don't have to go see a psychologist for a few weeks at least, because it takes out all your aggression. It's a beautiful way to kind of unleash that aggression in a way that you normally don't get to.
And handle that demolition. People pay for that now.
Exactly.
Like, people go to break rooms where they pay, I don't know how much money, you can like break stuff office space style.
Exactly.
When you can do that in your own home and save money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you might even be able to sell some of your old fixtures. I mean, if you've got an old house.
That's what Joel's doing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
40s, 50s, 60s. House when we renovated.
People love those old sinks and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we have a bathroom where we had a lavender toilet and tub and sink. So, man, some people want those old fixtures.
That's true. All right, and two, like, it's not always about resale. It's not always about money. Oftentimes, Tim, we're doing reno jobs just to enjoy our home more now, right? And it's not always about dollars and cents. So, you've done some loft beds for your kids, and that's kind of been one of those things that you did yourself instead of buying something pre-made. You created something. And yeah, so tell us about how the loft beds are working out for you. And then, you know, are there any other things that we should think about when we're doing things just purely for enjoyment in our home?
Yeah, you cannot beat the space savings in a kid's room with nothing else but a loft bed. I mean, it frees up so much room. When you go walk in your kid's room right now, look at the floor space. It's taken up by beds, especially if you've got kids that are sharing a room.
And yeah, what if you have three of those single beds in a single room?
Exactly, man.
Like
we need to go check out your room and get you some loft beds.
Yeah, well, so I mean, the reason we wanted to ask you about this is specifically, like, I mean, if you can reclaim some floor space in a room, I think that could kind of keep you from maybe doing a more costly renovation down the road where you feel like you have to add multiple bedrooms, right? And so, like, that's where the cost savings would come in. But I know, like, your son, he has been in the loft bed that you made for him for a few years now. My concern is he tired of it, right? Because if you're going to go through all this effort, all this time, and some money as well, in creating this thing, and then have the kids change their mind to where it's not something they're enjoying anymore. So how are you specifically approaching that?
That's funny you should say that, because I have my son's loft bed that I did, and he's had it for, I don't know, like 2 years. And then I just built these like just epic loft beds for my girls. And I had a friend say, "So what are you gonna do when you have to take those down in 2 years?" I was like, "Bro, these are grandkid beds, okay? They are not going anywhere."
All right.
And so, yeah, we did think through them being teenagers in this, and I kind of, especially with my girls' beds, built them in such a way that they're going to have some privacy. So we're going to put up curtains and that sort of thing.
Nice.
But as far as them getting tired of it, I don't know. We'll just have to cross that bridge when we get there. But I could take the thing off the wall. I mean, especially my sons. Now, my girls, man, it's like custom built in. That it is not going anywhere.
Not anytime soon, at least.
Yeah. And in fact, one of the walls that I kind of built in addition to the loft beds is kind of like a load-bearing wall now.
Oh,
it's crazy. I don't have any after pictures up yet because I just kind of recently finished it. So I'm going to have to get those up.
Get that posted before this comes out.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, Tim, I want to ask you too about like resources, where you go when you're kind of stuck on a project. Like, do you have any places, like when you're in the middle of something and things are falling apart or you're not sure where to go next, where you go in order to learn how to proceed? Or are you just like hitting up YouTube like the rest of us?
Pretty much.
So you just build things out of Lincoln Logs and like, okay, well, this worked with my Kinects, with my kids' Kinects.
Yeah, I'm a huge YouTube guy. I mean, I definitely go to YouTube for sure. But I would also say that having good friends that know things that you don't is super valuable. So I'll have a ton of friends that will call me up and just say, hey, my car's doing this, or this is happening on my house. And so a part of one of the things that we're really big on with You Can Man is sharing what you know. And so having those friends and reaching out to them that know things that you don't be afraid to do that. You know, reach out. And then when you have an expertise, be free to share that with others. But I have to remind myself that not everybody has that friend. And so when you don't, YouTube is your friend.
Yeah. YouTube. Maybe some message boards too. There's some good message boards out there.
Oh, I mean, all over the place.
Okay.
Reddit. Everything.
My go-to is if there's something I don't know how to do, and chances are I'm like, Jill probably doesn't know. Like,
I'm less DIY savvy than you are.
Next time I'll reach out to YouTube. But in the past, I've I do a little YouTube search, and I watch about three videos, and you know, you kind of get three different kind of views on it, and I feel pretty confident after that typically. But Tim, man, this has been a fun conversation. It's good to kind of have you over, and if anything, this is just a good excuse to hang out in person. But man, where can folks learn more about the different projects you guys are tackling? Where can they learn more about your podcast?
Yeah, you can go to youcanman.com and check out all the information there. I did want to mention that we're not just about DIY stuff. So we've done a series on, you know, how to become a Chick-fil-A owner-operator. I'd always wondered that myself, and I've got a good friend who's an owner-operator. And so we did a little series on that. We recently did a show on a guy that beat the world record for the cannonball run. It's like a coast-to-coast car race.
No way.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we've got all kinds of different stuff besides just DIY stuff. So if you're interested in those sorts of things as well, check us out, youcanman.com.
Perfect. All right. Well, Tim, this has been great. Thanks for coming to hang out with us today, man. And I really enjoyed getting to talk about DIY. It's a subject that a lot of people are thinking a lot about right now.
Yeah, this is a great topic for us to cover, man, as folks are looking for more ways to save money as we are all spending more time around the house. We'll put our show notes up on the website at howtomoney.com, and we'll make sure to link to some of those articles and episodes that Tim mentioned during this interview.
Yeah, and today's Friday. It's the weekend coming up. Perfect time to test out your DIY skills.
That's true.
So get going. All right, Matt, until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.